now listening to the Warp World Podcast. Boom shakalaka.
Welcome, everybody, to the Warp World Podcast, episode 116.
Sounds correct to me.
Right? I'm on it.
Yeah.
I'm on it. Yep. I definitely didn't forget it because I missed last week and almost missed this week's episode. I'm Grand Pooh Bear. Joining me this week and most all the weeks that happened is Jakku.
Hey, that's me.
And no X-Water this week.
No X-Water.
No X-Water this funny. Week. No, he is not here. It's kind of funny how this worked out because I actually missed this week's podcast originally because I was at Speedrun Sessions. You guys were kind enough to wait for me to get back, which I greatly appreciated. And then, unfortunately, though, X-Water ended up missing this one. So yeah. We basically, I mean, I don't want to say Jakku made a calculated trade there, but
to be fair, it was X-Water's like, yeah, Saturday's good. And then it turned out not to be good. But yeah, you know what? We got it done. We replaced X-Water with a poo. It was me and X-Water the previous week, so it's only accurate that it's me and you this week. And then maybe I'll take a few weeks off.
Yeah.
It's always nice to have these one-on-ones every now and then and just go back to what the original format was.
Yeah, the good old days. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Before X-Water buttered his way in on our beautiful podcast we had. Back when we had the big ratings, baby.
Right. You know, that money he gave us, it wasn't worth it, I feel like. I feel like we should have said no to that big old Canadian check.
I mean,
also, he didn't tell us it was Canadian until we got it.
Right. And not only that, I mean, we already kicked him out and then brought him back after MMC2, so.
That's true.
I mean, I'm still feeling the pain of that, you know?
Yeah, I really can't believe we let him in for MMC3.
I know.
But.
I know.
It is X-Water.
And he did it again. That was the worst part.
Right. He's probably like, well, what are the chances you guys are going to ban me again? 100%.
Oh, man. Yeah.
How you doing, though? You just came back from some of your sessions. That's why you were originally going to miss these episodes.
Yeah. So I was at Speedrun Sessions.
It's a mouthful.
Speedrun Sessions Charlotte. Yeah, that particular one is very hard to say. Speedrun Sessions Charlotte.
Yes.
I believe I got that right. And then the very next day, followed by Speedrun Sessions Atlanta, which were both just like insanely awesome, amazing events. I nothing against any other crowd we had, but those two crowds were like ridiculous. They were insane. Charlotte was like standing room only the whole time, and they were just blowing the roof off the place. And then Atlanta, the Atlanta crowd, I'm not even joking about this, but the Atlanta crowd chanted the whole time.
Wow.
Anything we said, anytime anything cool happened, the Atlanta crowd just like chanted. It was like an old ECW wrestling show. I can't even describe the way the atmosphere was in Atlanta. Like they went absolutely ham with the chanting, and it started like the first like maybe like 2 minutes of Oats and Goats run, and it finished at the very end of the night. The very very end of the night. It did not
That's
stop.
Awesome.
Yeah, they were chanting for 5 straight hours. It was insane.
Wow. I actually got to talk with Oats and Goats on the way back from TwitchCon. We were in the airport together and we had some lunch. So he sounded really happy to be part of this sessions. So that sounds amazing that it went well.
Oh,
Do you think the reason for the cheering and the crowd just going crazier is like it's now becoming more of a staple and you guys are just like nailing it every time you go somewhere new and it just gets better and better and like the crowds are now reacting to that as well? Or just the areas, like maybe Charlotte doesn't get anybody, but Atlanta, I have to imagine they get tons of people and events, so they're just used to like awesome things and they know how to party at them.
Yeah, I think it was definitely like a combination of all three of those things. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I will say the production on this one was so incredible. We did verse mode, which we tried to do at Lollapalooza, but unfortunately went way over time. But we did verse mode and the screen transitions that they gave us for verse mode were just like so insanely amazing. Nice. Like the camera was getting like sucked in and sucked out, and it was just so good. And I was, I don't know, like I can't express how like express how grateful I am to the production crew that helped us out. Red Bull is kind enough to provide them for the tour. We also had a tour bus this time, actually. We took a bus from Charlotte to Atlanta, yeah. A straight up tour bus, more of a party bus because it definitely had poles in it. So I would say it was more of a party bus. But anyway, it was only a 4-hour drive, and it was like we can all take a 45-minute flight where we're spending 2 hours, you know, 3 hours driving in and out of the airport anyway, or we can do a 4-hour drive on a bus, have a great time, take a nap, spread out if we want to. And it was definitely the best decision. 100%.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's definitely a reason why a lot of the professional sports teams also take buses like that. Mm-hmm. It's so much less of a hassle, and like equipment and people, the morale, you guys get to stay together. There's no splitting up. Yeah. The bus definitely seemed like the way to go. That's really cool.
Yeah. When it's a short drive like that, it just makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. 4 hours is like 4 to 5 hours is like the, yeah, that's a sweet spot. You don't have like flying's just, you're going to be an hour to get there, an hour to get out. You got to wait for your luggage. Then it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. I love that the events are, you know, getting super exciting. And like going to the transitions and stuff, I'm sure the production team's just learning a lot about this stuff now as they go along. So they're learning the cues, and it's so only going to get better.
Yeah, they're so on point now. Like it's so incredible how good they are. So I'm just so grateful for the everyone involved in speedrun sessions, everyone that's come and ran, and everyone that will run. And so it was kind of Atlanta was the season one finale officially. Although I did announce some DLC. We do have one more happening this year.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to take a little bit of time off, and then we're going to come back with season two pretty damn hard.
Nice.
And I'm really, really excited about it. So I can't wait to have, you know, more events happening. That, you know, I don't know. I love the vibe of them. I would do no other events and just do those, and I would be totally happy. They're so much fun.
I heard this DLC has some Yonoid action, but
I think we might be able to work. I think Yonoid might get worked in there somewhere. You know, like I think I can make that happen, Chaku.
The people have been asking for it.
I know a guy who knows a guy. So
that's good. That's good. No, these events have been probably have these exceeded your expectations? I imagine they have.
Yeah, when I pitched it, I thought we'd get like maybe like 50, 70 guys, 75 guys, you know, at these events. And from the first one, like the first one, we did like 300 in Portland. And then like since then, they've just all been bangers, except maybe Lollapalooza. I wouldn't say Lollapalooza was a banger. We didn't.
Yeah.
That one was just weird. It just, the whole thing went weird. But here's the thing. If I did do Lollapalooza again, I 100% would change some things that we did that I think would make it a significantly better event for us in particular.
Yeah, I think having, I wouldn't necessarily call it a failure, but having some events not go as well, it's definitely a good learning experience. If everything always goes really great, you don't really, you learn, but you don't learn as well as when failure's involved. And so that's good. I think that's good. And like you said, you do some things different, and that probably helps shape the future of other events to make sure other events don't turn out like Lollapalooza.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, and that one was still really fun. Like, we had a blast.
Absolutely.
Like, the runs were great. It's just, I feel like I could have done better at promoting it. I feel like there was just so much stuff going on that it was also kind of last minute, too. We put it together. Mm-hmm. So I wish I would have, you know, and I was also really confident by that point. I was probably too confident. And that's the thing is like, since then I've always gone into it being like, man, we really got to push hard. You know, I think that was probably a big thing for me. I was too confident in that one. Cause you know, there's just like so many people at Lollapalooza. Like, of course there'd be some of our fans there. Of course we could.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was too confident. I learned my lesson, but, it was really cool to get back to like, because honestly, since the first one in Portland, we've done like really crazy places. You know, we did Hawaii, we did Vegas, we did Lollapalooza, we did, you know, like it was nice to do like a couple like
normal
ones,
I would say.
Yeah. And doing
accessible.
And I was happy to get like doing back to back because I didn't have to be away from my family that long.
Right. That's true.
Yeah, I didn't have to be away from my family that long, and I had a just like an overall like great time. You know, with getting to know, like, I got to sit on the bus with Spike and Oates and Andy and Kelsey and Sumi and Lutzi and Darkman, and we just had a great time. You know, we talked a lot about speedrunning and you know, like the another unnamed event that I might be wanting to do in the near future. And yeah, and then things are fun. Yeah, things are gonna go absolutely. Well. So yeah,
that's awesome. Were there any super fans that showed up to both?
Yeah, there were, I think, six that I know of for sure showed up to both. And then if there was any more and I just didn't recognize them, I'm going to feel really bad.
That's huge, though.
There was one couple drove from Miami.
Oh, wow.
Up to Charlotte, down to Atlanta, and then we're driving back to Miami. Right?
That's amazing.
That was crazy. Yeah. And we did try to give them a bit of a different show. In Atlanta than we did in Charlotte, just for anybody that was, especially like people watching online and stuff. So we tried to give them a little bit different show. I did the worst Mario 3 run that I have ever done live. Ever. Yeah. I was not good. It was not a good run.
I saw some talks in the Mario 3 Discord about removing all of your scores from the leaderboards after that.
I you know what? I was literally going to go check the Mario 3 Discord as soon as you said that, because I thought they probably would talk shit on how bad my run was. It was so bad, dude. It was, like, I can't express that. It was like 10 minutes over my PB. It was so bad. Yeah, it was horrendous. But, you know, it was, what's funny is I hit, like, all the hard levels, but...
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't know.
It happens. And like, you know, like you said, like two events and there's a lot going on. But
I only got 3 hours of sleep. Yeah, I got three hours of sleep before in between the two of them. And that was like, I have the little app on my phone with my ring tells me how much I sleep. And yeah, it was exactly 3 hours of it.
Wow.
So I'm okay with how the run went, just because the event was so live and it was great. And we had Barb there in Charlotte. He came and hung out and did some commentary and also, you know, ran verse mode. It was just, I don't know, just overall, that's it was cool. Just a really, really fun fucking time.
Yeah. No, it always looks fun and everyone always seems to have a great time. So that's great that it's continuing. And season two sounds really awesome. So we cannot wait for that.
Yeah. Bigger, and well, probably the same size, but
bigger,
just as good.
Uncut.
Just same size and just as good.
Yeah,
that's what I'm going better. For.
Yeah, but yeah, at least just as good. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Man, you know what's not so good, though?
Tell me what's not so good. I was going to say, how are we going to go into this one?
Blizzard. At least they're not doing so good.
Okay, actually, before we, like, this is a good transition, actually, because one of the people I met in Atlanta, they come up to me and they're like, oh man, I got to come here because I just quit my job. And I was like, oh man. He goes, yeah, I took a job at Blizzard in community management and I started in 2 weeks. And I was like, oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no, dude. I feel so bad for you. It was so funny. But yeah, Blizzard, you want to tell the story?
I guess, you know, it happened about a week ago at this point. Hearthstone pro player Chung, is it Blitzchung? He was suspended after delivering a pro Hong Kong message during the official broadcast. He was suspended. His earnings were revoked by Blizzard. And this upset the internet community. It actually brought a whole lot of people out from not even gaming, but, you know, the politicians of America speaking out against Blizzard, taking action against this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Since then, Blizzard's actually come back and said, okay, we're not going to ban. It was for 1 year and they took all his money. They've revoked it and they changed it to 6 months and they gave him his earnings back. But their message was, we're not trying to, limit the speech about the Hong Kong message, but it was, you know, against the rules about speaking political on this stage. We want to keep the focus on the game and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the internet was really upset with them about that because it took a full week for this message to come out too. And people were deleting their Blizzard accounts. And at some point, deleting accounts got blocked.
Yeah.
And that seemed... there's a conspiracy there, maybe, but no, a lot of people think there's a conspiracy there. I think if you read into it, I think it's more or less like if you had a service and all of a sudden a bunch of user accounts were being deleted, you might have some safeguards in place.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah, to ensure mass deletion isn't a thing. And like just bad timing for them on that for sure. But, you know, it's still a good thing. People were ultimately able to delete their accounts if they wanted to. But yeah, it's definitely an interesting time. Games are getting more political now more than ever because of this. It's been the biggest thing in news. And with BlizzCon coming right around the corner, it's probably got Blizzard a little worried, but also it is the internet. Are they going to move on within a week?
I mean, I think this in particular is not going to go away at all. I think BlizzCon is going to be an insane... There's going to be an insane amount of protesting going on at BlizzCon. It's something that's very uniting. I don't know about this particular one and that it's everyone kind of feels the same way about it. This is a Hong Kong player. You know what I mean? This is a player in Hong Kong that had this happen. I want to say like, thank God they gave him back his prize money. 'Cause he earned that. Like,
yeah.
I don't care what happens after, you know, what happens after that. I think he earned his prize money. I think there's two sides of the story. I think one, Blizzard can say they're not like, you know, bowing down to China. And even if they are or aren't, it is their right to ban players for whatever reason they deem necessary. It's also the internet's right to say you fucking suck because of that.
Right.
And I think both of these things are true in this situation. You know what I mean? I think I understand why Blizzard did it. I would imagine that the Chinese market for their games might be bigger than the entirety of America's market for their games. You know what I mean? If they're able to operate in China, which not every game is able to operate in China. I could imagine that market is entirely bigger than America, and they have no problem taking any amount of hits that come here to keep that market, you know, and for better or worse, like it's fucked up, but that's capitalism. Like, I don't know. I don't know. Like that's the game business. I also think that they fucking suck for doing it. I don't know. It's just, it was horrible. The real thing that was bad is the casters. Like banning the casters was completely unnecessary and completely pointless because they didn't do anything. They were just there. Like that was ridiculous. And to double down on it where they're still suspended and still suspended the casters too, it feels, I don't know. It does like my personal feelings, like professionally I get why they did it, but personally I think it was, it looks so bad. It looks so bad. And I'm super glad that I'm not someone who plays Blizzard video games right now because there's a whole nother conversation to have about like guys doing that right now as well, which is interesting. I'm just glad I'm not in that situation. You know, thank God Nintendo's not, you know, thank God they never put on tournaments. So they ban us from places like that.
The whole, like they did unban the commentators as well. 6 months still,
yeah,
which is
they
still
had 6 months.
Mad. It's definitely an interesting thing. And I think you're absolutely right. Like at the end of the day, It's the company's decision on what way they want to go with this, and it's definitely the internet's decision to be able to say fuck you, we hate you, for whatever decisions you make. Like that's how life is, and he absolutely did deserve that money for sure. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is interesting. This has led to Epic Games releasing a statement, you know, like, we're not going to bow down to that, or, you know, we're not going to limit our users. They can talk about anything. Another company did as well. Riot.
Riot did the opposite.
Riot did the opposite. Exactly. They're like, you know, this is a game that's about uniting people together. Let's leave politics out of it. So all of these companies are now being like looked at more because of this protest going on in Hong Kong. And it's very interesting to see where people side. And every company has their right to do what they want at the end of the day. Just they need to, like, everybody knows, like, it's going to affect them in some way, positive or negative. So this is still, like, very early, I feel like. Like it's been a week, but, like, I think you're right. I don't think this is going to be something where the internet does move on right away. I think this is going to be something that we're going to be seeing, and the stories are going to be developing, and more companies are going to come out speaking on either side of it. And it's going to be very interesting to see where everyone lies.
Yeah. It's kind of hard because, like, even in my own stream, I don't allow politics, you know what mm-hmm. I mean, in my own chat. So I understand the yeah. want to do it. I just think everyone felt like that all seemed way excessive. You know what I mean? It seemed like a way excessive thing. Like, ban him from one tournament. That would seem more appropriate. Let him keep his money. Fine him, fine him like $5,000. I don't know what a lot of money is in Hearthstone. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like something. I think everyone, it was the excessiveness of the ban and the, which felt, I think very rightfully so, like bowing down to what feels like an oppressive Chinese government in that situation. You know what I mean? It's not a good look. I don't know.
No. Yeah. I think they would have done a lot better if they had done like a one tournament ban and some sort of fine on the money and not just been like, yep, you're banned and give us that money back. I think you're right. That would have saved a lot, and things would be completely different right now. A week later, I don't think it would have been as big of news. I think people would have been like, yeah, that's fair. He broke a rule. It's like a GDQ rule, right?
Mm-hmm.
You leave that stuff at home. You don't use their platform. But at the same time, you know, if you're passionate about something, you don't care about the bans. So you will use their platform. But knowing that it's a rule definitely helps. But yeah, I think they overreacted. And we'll see where that develops and where it goes. It's very interesting, to say the least. And the fact that, like, U.S. Congress, congressmen and senators and stuff have been talking about it as well is it just goes to show that gaming is kind of a bigger movement than a lot of people give it credit for. And people listen to the broadcasters and gamers now, and that's where a lot of people get their political views and thoughts. So it's going to be a space to be watching for all of this stuff in the future.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's definitely interesting. I don't know. I mean, yeah, there's politics is leaking onto Twitch more and more. You know, I mean, politicians are understanding that. You know, the next generation uses Twitch, they are using it as well. Plus their servers are free, you know?
Sure.
Why put on your own stream when you can, you know, you can just use Twitch's servers and be automatic partner because you're Bernie Sanders or...
Affiliated. Not affiliated, but verified.
Yeah, slightly verified, different. Yeah.
Still got the check mark, but not partner. No monetization.
Okay.
But yeah, it makes sense. Use the platform that's free. You can reach a lot more people if it's already an existing platform. People don't have to go sign up and get spammed by your system. And it's going to make some news because of the, you know, it's because you're making an account on that platform. And then additionally, that's going to get more views for you. So you get more people to come to your streams. It makes sense. And plus, it's like any other social media at this point, you know. People would go on Twitter and Facebook and stuff as those grew to use them as their platform. So why not Twitch? We're not invulnerable to this sort of thing. Like, this is going to happen. People are going to use whatever platform makes sense at the time and where people are. And this is a good spot to do it, regardless of what side you're on. It makes sense.
Oh, man. It was crazy. It's a lot. There's a lot going on there. There's a lot to unpack. I don't know. At the heart of it all is a very real movement and a pivotal point in history for millions and millions of people that are actually being affected by it. And I mean, for those who, you know, don't know how deep this issue goes, I mean, it's a years in the making thing that's been leading up to months and months of protests. So it's an important issue. to a lot of people, and I understand the motivation behind the player to want to speak out and use the platform. I just don't think that was an appropriate response, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well said.
Yeah. Great. All right. Now, let's just move on. Killer Queen Black just dropped this week. We are the number one Killer Queen podcast, as far as I know, because we talk about it all the time.
We do. We actually have to have them back on, Nick and Josh.
I'd love to have them on.
Yeah, it's been many episodes. It was episode 6, I believe, when we first had them on. So yeah. 110 episodes since then. Yeah. And they had alluded to this game on that podcast. So
we're
110 episodes ago, and it is here now. I actually got to talk to the creators of the game, and I told them that we had 116 episodes or 115 episodes, and we had them on episode 6. Like, we've been working on that game for that long. Oh my goodness.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. But it came out as a PC, Switch, Mac. You can get it on the Discord store while the store is still up. It's on Steam. And,
Humble Bundle?
Humble Bundle. Yep.
Yeah. Humble Bundle, I believe it's on.
Yep. And then Switch.
And it's crossplay.
Yeah. It's crossplay. Yeah. It's a great little game, honestly. I think it's $15 right now. If not, it's $20. I think you might have been able to get it for $15 early. But it's kind of like the arcade game. It's definitely different. There's a few new character moves and things like that. It's not like there's actually a gun in the game.
Yeah.
Which is, if you ever played the arcade game and or at least have been in the arcade scene, there's always been a joke with new players. We're like, how do I get a gun? How do I shoot in this? Because like most games. Arcade games, it's like you shoot something, I feel like. So many players think there should be a gun, and so they definitely included a gun this time. But you also have, you know, the standard type of warrior. But you also have, I believe it's a mace.
It's like a ball and chain.
Ball, yeah. There's I
the ball I knew and this chain the other warrior.
Day. Yeah, but yeah, it's really cool.
The queen can dash sideways. I think like the.
Yeah.
The biggest thing about Killer Queen Black, the difference between Black and regular Killer Queen is like the Killer Queen Black Queens are so fast and dominant. Like they're so good and like they're a lot more OP than the regular queens in the regular game, which are already, you know, obviously OP because if you're familiar with the game, that's kind of the idea of it. But because of the sideways dash, it's just like it feels like every game is ending a military victory, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I was playing earlier, and I went warrior a lot more than Barius because right now a lot of people really don't know how to play the game, and so killing queens is really easy.
Yeah.
Because as a warrior, you can also sideways dash, and so like I would like stay under a platform, and the queen would come diving down. And then as soon as they land, I would dash and kill them. Super easy. Barely an inconvenience there. And it's fun. It's addicting still, which is great. That's what they wanted. They wanted to have that addicting feel of the arcade. But you can play it at home, which was the number one complaint about the arcade version. Like, I want to play this at home. And they were very careful, and they never wanted that. Their vision was for the arcade. And I think they took something from the arcade and made a home version of it that's really true to the original, but still different in its own way. That doesn't take away from the arcade. Many times you think like Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time, and Turtles at the arcade. Same game. You know, why would I go back to the arcade to play it? But this is, you would still go back to the arcade. In fact, more people will probably go to the arcade to try this original game now. I think they did a really good job on it. And one of the big differences is, as well, is it's 4v4 instead of 5v5, which is a little different. I wouldn't say it makes the game better or worse. I just definitely do enjoy the 5v5 because then it's
you know,
one queen, four drones.
It feels even. Yeah, it feels even. A little uneven in that respect. I do agree. The maps feel smaller also, probably because they have less players, you know?
Yeah.
It's A very, 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 very good game. Like, and this is going to be the worst thing I say, but it's just not as good as regular Killer Queen. But that's not a bad thing. That doesn't mean it's like not worth playing. That doesn't mean it's not going to take up hundreds of hours of my time. I'll probably end up playing it more than the actual Killer Queen, just because I can do it from the comfort of my own home. Right. I love the aesthetics of it. The aesthetics of it are incredible. Like the graphics and the animations of it are just beautiful. When the snail eats the minions in this one, it's brutal, man.
Yeah, it's got a more realistic art style to it too. Killer Queen was very cartoony, I would say, and like this is still cartoony, but it's realistic cartoony. Mm-hmm. And like the snail looks kind of disgusting in this version, but in a good way.
In a good way.
Yeah, it is really cool to see this game finally come out. There's definitely some really interesting things that I know that they're working on, and they're going to be watching this a lot, because the thing I know about the developers of this game, which is not the original creators of Killer Queen, Bumble Bear is the creators of Killer Queen, and then Liquid Bit is the company that was hired to make this version, Chicago-based company too, which is awesome. But they're really passionate about the game as well, and they, you know, it's why they were picked to work on it as opposed to other companies. I think they vibed well with the original creators, and they both love the games. So it's going to be really cool. I think it's a good thing for people to be able to play this game, and it's going to make people want to go out to play the arcade, which is exactly what I think everyone wanted.
Yeah.
Bumble Bash is actually happening while we're recording this right now.
I may have just literally went and looked on Twitch for.
I was tempted to go, but I'm like, no, I got. I was busy while you were at sessions. I was busy recording some stuff with Project Adventure, but we'll get to that later when that's all been completed and is released. I think because X-Water was also here in Chicago for that, and we touched on it a little bit. But yeah, no, it's really cool. It's really exciting to see this new version of a game that we love so much come out and be more accessible.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. It's also really funny on Twitch, like seeing all these guys like just learning to play after we had the crash course weekend at MMC.
Right.
You know, where we learned a lot that weekend. So
yeah,
it's been really fun to see people play. And speaking of new takes on games. Mm-hmm. We would be remiss if we didn't talk about the still arguably biggest game on Twitch, Fortnite.
Super Mario. Oh, yep. Yeah.
Fortnite.
I'm glad you picked up on my little, I planted the seed for that segue.
I did my best. I did my best. Yeah. But yeah, Fortnite, it's actually launching tomorrow. We're recording tonight, though, which you're going to listen to this Monday, which would... So
I mean, it launched yesterday.
Yesterday. Keep up with that. everything's pointing to a brand new map. What do you think a new map is going to do with Fortnite? First of all, both for the game overall on Twitch, and secondly, for you as a player, are you going to come back and play Fortnite? Check out the new map. Oh, and bots. Bots are launching. That's another thing that's launching. Did you see that? Bots are launching as well.
No.
Oh, yeah. I should talk about that.
Tell me more about bots.
Okay. So you have the chance to be in a game. If you suck really, really bad, right? You're bad at Fortnite. Just horrible. Brand new. Whatever. You are going to be set in a game with 50 other players and 50 bots. And those 50 other players are also going to suck at Fortnite because they're also with the 50 bots, you know?
Yeah.
If you're kind of good at the game, you're going to be like with like 30 bots. If you're pretty good at the game, you're going to have 10 bots. And if you're, you know, great at the game, you're going to have 0 bots. And that's going to be, you know, the big open challenge stuff.
Interesting.
Right? And that's in the regular games. What do you think? Has that already come out? That might already be come out.
It may, maybe. That sounds like, honestly, like I could see some people being upset about that, but I think that's great.
Yeah,
it sets your stage to be, you know, more accessible for your skill. You know, more pro players will be put up with pro players, and if you suck at the game, you know, you're not gonna suck as much, hopefully, and you're still enjoy the game, because after all, even if it's a competitive game, at the end of the day, you play games to have fun. Yeah. So like, I think that's great. And I'm sure some people are like, it should be opt-in. And I would disagree with that. I think you should definitely be like ranked with the skill set that you are at, and you shouldn't be able to be like, no bots.
Yeah. I think especially in that particular game, it's so hard to learn when you're just getting destroyed in that game.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're getting thrown into games with a bunch of pros and it's your first few times playing, it's not going to be a fun experience, and you're going to have no time to like pick up on the skills because you're going to die so quick. So that's really awesome. I almost wonder if that was an effect, because I haven't played the game in many moons. I did install it for the Batman skin, though. I made sure to install it and grab that because I thought that was pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And so I played like two matches, and like I came top 10 on both of them, and I'm like, I haven't played this game in like almost a year. So that must have put me in with bots, is my thought.
It does start with season 11. I just Googled it. So
okay, yeah, so it does I'm, start I'm with actually not 11. Bad. Okay. That's awesome. That's cool.
I personally am really excited about it too, because it's not even just being with bots, it's being with other players that are in a relative range of my own personal skill level.
Yeah.
You know? It's better. Like, the best way to learn is to be constantly playing against people that are just slightly better than you.
Yeah.
I think.
I was just going to say that. Like, you, if you're always going up against, you know, the best player, you're going to learn, but you're not going to learn at a fast enough rate to best them. Yeah. But if you go against people that are slightly at your skill level or better, you're going to slowly get better and better and work your way up. And then you're going to be able to take on those better players. You know, if you're playing hockey against Wayne Gretzky, you know, you'd probably have a hard time getting past him. I mean, maybe in this age you could, but, you know, if you play against another, you know, non-pro, you guys will learn off of each other and it will work out. That's cool. Yeah. I like that. New map. I think that's interesting. I think the evolution of the map over the last year or two at this point.
2 years.
Has been, yeah.
2 years, yeah.
Yeah, has been cool. But yeah, I think it's about time for a new map. I think like changing the existing map was neat to keep people kind of interested in the game, but also still familiar. But after 2 years, that gets boring, even changing it up. And I think they've done all they can to that map. I think they've done some dirty things to that map. That map didn't deserve some of those things, you know? So give that map a break. And you can always bring it back for like, you know, retro runs or something, I guess. I don't know. Something crazy. So I think absolutely new map is needed. 2 years, new season. It's not a season. It's, what are they calling it?
Is it just Fortnite 2? Is it part 2? I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, isn't it still technically in beta? Doesn't it always say beta?
Maybe. I don't know. Fortnite 2. They made a sequel to Fortnite. Why not? And then you said something about what it was going to do for streams. Is that your other question?
Yeah. What do you think it's going to do for the streaming numbers?
I think they're going to grow. Absolutely. Yeah. I think, again, like it got kind of boring. It was the same map and it was kind of the same thing. It's like, oh, they added something cool. Or new, that's cool, I guess, but not worth it. Like that Batman thing was worth it for me to check in, mm-hmm. You know, but like it only lasted two matches. They got my money and that's all they care about. But they got my money, I moved on. But a new map, everyone's going to want to see what it looks like. And a lot of people are going to be at work and they're going to be like, let me just load it up. Or they're going to be, you know, not able to play right away. They're just watching somebody else. I think it's going to grow. I think we're going to see, you know, Fortnite numbers way up. Over the next few weeks.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I mean, like, I'm definitely interested to get back in it 100%. It seems like it's going to be really, really fun. I'm super excited to, like, I don't know, no game, what Fortnite's really good at is making you feel like a badass when you kill someone. Like, the weapons just explode in this, like, confetti of winning, and it every time you kill someone, it feels awesome. You know what I mean? You build a ramp. Even if you just build like three things and then work somebody over, it feels really cool. And so I think overall it's going to be a really, really good, positive thing to the game and the bots. And then the new map, obviously, like anytime a new map comes in, like when PUBG made a new map, we checked it out. Like I think that just breathes new life into the game, you know? And I think those two things, like, you're going to see a lot of people come back for the new map and then feel like they're doing good at the game. And so they'll want to play more.
Yeah, you know? I was going to say it's more of an even playing field again.
Yeah.
People that have been playing for the last 11 seasons, it's like we said, it's still the overall same map. So you know all the spots, you know all this stuff. Mm-hmm. A brand new map, skills still goes into it, but there's going to be so many new things to discover and new areas that are going to be unfamiliar to everyone. It's going to be a little bit more even playing field there, and it will be more fun. Again, games are about fun, unless you're in a competitive scene. But overall, like, games are meant to be played for fun. So, very cool stuff. I think this is the right move. I think it's a good time. Because Fortnite came out in October. So, yeah, I guess this is about time for it.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's time. It's cool. Time. And props to, you know, Epic is like, I mean, props to that company, man. The way they've just handled this game and at the same time, like, making a store that I know people don't necessarily love. But I don't think it's a bad thing for game developers overall. And just the ability to do all that, everything mm-hmm. they've done over the last 2 years since this has really started, it's been quite impressive. So, congrats to Epic. They're an impressive company, man.
They make some missteps here and there with things, but like everybody does that.
Yeah.
And they are definitely trying to go, like, they took the success of Fortnite and used it to do more good, I think, than most companies do when they have something successful like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good work all around. Speaking of other stores, though.
Other stores?
Yeah, Steam. Did you know that's a store still?
Yes, I did know that.
That's good. Steam is actually going to be adding a new feature to the store, I guess, or to the application called Remote Play Together.
Ooh. What's Remote Play Together mean?
Well, you ever find those games that it's like, oh, this is multiplayer, but it turns out it's couch multiplayer and all of your friends live across the country?
Yes, I do. Nidhogg, that is one of them. Idarb, I can name tons of games like this, yeah.
Well, Remote Play Together will be a way that allows you to all play the game together as if you're on the same couch.
What?
Remotely at home.
What? That's freaking awesome.
Yeah. There's been some technology in the past. I think it was called Proton. There's been something like that where it literally lets you send your inputs to a game to another computer remotely and vice versa. And it works on games where the RNG is based on like time or input, whatever. So it's exactly the same on everyone. Or there is no RNG, right? It's all just mm-hmm. player-based inputs. Mm-hmm. So it will be interesting to see what games work with this out of the box and if other games will need updates to kind of sync those seeds. But essentially, this will let you play any co-op game that's in your Steam library with somebody else that has a co-op game that's only local multiplayer.
That's so cool.
It's really cool.
I feel like there's a lot of games I would like to buy now that I wouldn't have bought before because I'm curious, obviously the first concern is like latency.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's going to be a major issue given that a lot of gaming PCs are hooked up. You know, there's not really on Wi-Fi. They're on regular Ethernet cables. Most if you're going to go out and get a gaming PC, generally you're going to take the time to do that as well. I think I'm just very, 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 I'm very curious about how that'll go, like, latency wise, but man, it's just like, that's so cool. There's going to be so many awesome games that open up to, playing with your friends, which I think is just great. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the nice thing is they only have to send the inputs of the controllers from both players to each other. And mm-hmm. so there will obviously be a small delay there, but we're talking a few 100 milliseconds, well, probably millisecond, like 10, well, yeah, probably like 50 milliseconds to 100 milliseconds if it's mm-hmm. done right, which for speedrunners, that's a big deal. But like, I guess Nidhogg could be one of those games where that 100 milliseconds did make a difference. But overall, you're playing with a friend, you're not going to care too much. You're not going to be in a competitive match with people with this sort of thing. Plus, it will probably work really great for any sort of those, any RPG type games or just turn-based games that you can play with friends. And then additionally, like, yeah, at the end of the day, I think just playing with friends is going to make up for any of that small delay that we will have. Because there is a large library of games where it's just like, oh, I can't do this game over the internet because it doesn't have network capabilities. I'd love to play this game with my friends, but I can't have them all sit on my couch because I live in a very small apartment. You know, it's going to be really cool. I'm really excited for this. All we need now is a way to play Steam games on our Switch, like connected to our PC. So then we can be sitting on our couches playing games from our PC that's also connected to our friends across the world.
See, make now that happen. Now you're really thinking.
Yeah. It's this exciting. Is the
big brain moves we need, you know? Yeah. I got one.
Right.
I got one right there.
We should have you on the show.
I know. Yeah. If only I could ever get on that podcast, you know?
Maybe one day. But no, it's really cool. I like this. This is Steam. Do you think this is Steam kind of reacting to Epic
again? I mean, I have to feel like that's part of it, right? Mm-hmm. Steam is. Epic's been gaining on Steam. They've obviously got a ton of exclusives on there. This is a good reason to. What do I want to say? Like, put your game just on Steam, because, like, if you're a little indie developer, you're like, man, I don't even have to make any netcode, you know?
Right.
Honestly, like, you can just be like, nah, I'm just not making any netcode. No point.
Yeah, you just make sure that your game's compatible with whatever the system might require. And then if it, like, it's a great way to not have to build that in and still see if it's a popular multiplayer game.
Yeah, I completely agree.
That's huge for developers. So it'll be interesting to see how this goes. I'm really excited for it because, like you said, you can name a few games. Nidhogg's definitely one of them. There's definitely a lot of games in my library where I would want to play with friends. So, like, Friends Friday now has even more games to play.
Yeah, a ton of games. I personally am really excited. I think this is, like, one of the biggest things I've seen in, like, Steam's history, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, like, this seems bigger deal to me than VR does, honestly. But, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. To play Nidhogg.
just being able to play Nidhogg. It's a great just Nidhogg. Game.
I think Nidhogg 2 is online, actually.
It might be, yeah.
And Nidhogg 2 is significantly better than Nidhogg 1, but, I mean, it's still really good.
Yeah. Nidhogg was the start.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, let's move on to this week's hot take, shall we?
Hot take.
So Sony recently announced the Sony PlayStation 5. I mean, I guess they announced it a while ago, but they finally announced that it's coming out in 2020, end of 2020. So this week's hot take is, do we need it? Are we ready? Is it time for a new PlayStation? Is it time for the new generation of game systems?
My initial thought when we discussed this before the show was like, no, it doesn't feel like it's time. It feels like there's still so many great games that could be coming out on the PlayStation 4 right now, which has had a tremendous library over its lifetime, honestly. And it's only going to get better with Last of Us 2 coming out next year. I'm kind of surprised that they were moving on. But then you told me the release date of the PlayStation 4, and I should have remembered this because it was also a month before I got on Twitch, and it was in 2013, November of 2013. I actually got on Twitch in December of 2013, and it's kind of crazy that it's that old. And by the time the PlayStation 5 comes out, it'll have been 7 years, and so. Maybe it is time for a new generation of consoles. I don't know if we need it. I don't feel like PC games are extremely far ahead of the PlayStation 4 right now. I don't feel like PlayStation's holding back PC games. You know, I think it's just... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think it's... I don't feel like it's time, but I guess it's time.
Yeah, I mean, if we go based on release dates and all that, it definitely seems like it's time. 7 years is pretty long for systems to stay around. But you're right. Like, I feel like they're not holding back PC games right now. But maybe they are. And we're missing out on a whole lot of awesome-looking games, and we don't know it because developers are like, just make sure it works on PS4 and Xbox One, and we're... Port those same assets to PC, save some time and money. because a lot of engines now, Unreal and Unity and stuff, they build the game for that system, and they're like, compile for this, compile for that, and they're done. There's a bit more to it than that in some cases, but like overall, they program for one system, and these engines just adapt for the rest. But looking at the PlayStation 4 games, like, I don't know, they still look so impressive, you know?
Yeah.
So like, what do we get out of this? It must be, obviously, graphics and stuff. We get a bit mm-hmm. better graphics. But I wonder if we just also get better, like, background services. Things like, services like Discord and things running, and better streaming services. So people can stream directly from their PS5 with overlays and stuff. Like, maybe we need that for those extra resources of these additional processes, and not to actually make the game look better, but just to make the system more PC-like, because yep. more people are expecting things out of them than just playing games now.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I also think that we're looking at a situation where we probably, like, we're definitely getting to the point of diminishing return on graphics. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. not, like, generation to generation doesn't feel like it's, like, that huge a deal. But I do think there's probably some room for some improvement on, like, AI, you know?
Yeah.
That I could totally see. Lots of, you know, realistic animations. I think those are the places where we're going to see more improvements over this next generation than just, like, pure graphical realism, you know? I'm curious to see, is VR a big plan for PlayStation 5? You know, they haven't talked about it so far. I'm curious to see if they're still a big believer in VR. Sure. I don't know. I don't know how successful PlayStation VR was for them, you know? I have no idea. It's going to be interesting. It doesn't feel like it's necessary, but maybe they're going to have just, like, so many games to play that it's completely necessary.
Yeah. I think VR has been fairly successful for them. And you're right. Like, that sort of thing definitely does need a boost. Compared to PC, PlayStation VR is not the greatest, but it was very accessible, and it did a really good thing for VR, making it accessible. So now with the PS5, they can make it great and accessible. If they go that route. AI, absolutely. Like, every game can use multiple updates for CPU and memory on that, for sure. Mm-hmm. It's not always about graphics. If you're making a really good story with really good AI, the game feels so much better than, you know, good story with crap AI, where it just takes you out of it. So there is a lot of improvements in things other than graphics, because we have reached that point of diminishing returns. I think a lot of people thought we reached there in the PS3 to 4, but, like, clearly you can definitely see a difference between those. But, like, overall, like, PS5 is going to probably look fairly similar to PS4 in many cases, especially at the start. But the things that work underneath it are going to need these extra resources. So, yeah, it does seem like it's time. It's still years out, 1 year out. But, you know, people upgrade their PC every 2 years or so. And, like, 7 years for a system is not bad. You spend $600 or $400, right?
I mean,
3 to 4, I think, is the price.
What do you
now.
Think it's going to cost?
It's got to. Yeah, they got to keep it 3 to 4. I think the PlayStation
really?
3. Yeah,
I mean, dude, iPhones are $1,000 now.
That's true, but
I mean, I could see 500. I like, okay. 500 could be a price.
500 could be the price. Yes, I think anything over that is, like, if you remember the PS3, it was like it launched at like 6 or 7, I think, which was a lot. But it was also really different from the time. Now, mm-hmm. though, we're kind of used to game consoles being around $300 to $400. Mm-hmm. I think $500 might be the maximum you can go. And the difference with phones is, like, phones you use for everything now. It's in your pocket all the time. You take it with you everywhere. You're not taking your PS5 with you anywhere. I mean, you can, but, like, you're not taking it to work and commuting with it and stuff and using it.
I mean, just to that point, we're assuming that this isn't like a Switch knockoff console, too, right?
Sure.
We're assuming this is a...
Oh, yeah.
I have to feel like PlayStation 5 is going to not be that at all, you know?
Yeah,
it's going to be a hardcore, you know, like in you know, hardcore on TV, can't move, big brick of a console, you know?
Yeah. I think if Sony's going to ever try to do the Switch thing, they're going to try to do it how they've done it with the PSP and the Vita and be one of those, like, yeah, your system's playing the game, is streaming the video to you. Have fun with that. And that works fine. And as internet gets better, it's only going to be better. And, like, Nintendo kind of tried that with the Wii U, but it was limited to you know, 10 feet. So I could see that being the future of things. And, you know, maybe they'll let you download an app on your Switch. Like, how crazy would that be? Download the PlayStation 5 stream app, and it connects to your PlayStation 5, and it lets you play your PlayStation 5 games on your Switch remotely.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. We're definitely going to be getting to that with all the cloud-based services and things. So you might as well become the cloud.
Yeah, I mean, Stradia is already doing that. I'm curious to see. I, you know what I think is, I'm curious if Xbox, how Microsoft is going to respond to all this, because I don't think they want to be a year later than PlayStation 5, right?
Yeah.
They don't want to be a full year later. And I also would be curious to see how, if they kind of go back to the original Xbox One vision with the Always Online as well.
Yeah, it's been 7 years, so it might be time for that, where we do have the always on internet only sort of thing. It's definitely kind of I think an
internet check every, you know, you need an internet check every week or something, you know.
Yeah, I think we're ready for that. I think we can do it. That's PlayStation 5.
It's coming.
Yeah, it is. We're almost there. It's crazy.
So we got any viewer questions this week?
Yeah, we got some side questions.
Some side questions.
So keeping on the discussion of basically system consoles right now, this one comes from Manic T, and they say, Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft hire Dr. Frankenstein to take all the best parts of their existing consoles and turn them into one Uber console. In each of the following categories, what company or console would you choose? So we got a list of six choices or categories. So exclusive games.
Nintendo.
Yeah.
Wait. Yeah, Nintendo.
Yeah. It's because, yeah.
Yeah,
controller.
PlayStation.
Ooh, interesting.
Right? No, maybe Xbox. I think Xbox.
I would probably go Xbox, yeah.
Yeah, the Elite controller is really good.
Yeah. Network infrastructure.
Probably also Xbox.
I would say Xbox. PlayStation, obviously, second.
Yes.
Dashboard UI.
Probably also Xbox, actually, which is kind of funny. I don't know. The Nintendo's UI is actually really pretty. I do like their UI on the Switch, but probably also Microsoft in this particular aspect, which is kind of funny I'm saying that. I really hate the PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4 UI, personally. I think it sucks.
We got community interaction / PR.
Again.
Xbox.
This is kind of funny that I'm giving Xbox so much credit, considering they're by far the third console I'd want to own in this particular generation. But I mean, Sony doesn't really have any, you know, they're not particularly friendly with, I don't know, like, they're not boosting anyone up by any means. You know, they might be in Japan, but at least not here in America. Nintendo, obviously, their history is long and strong of being against us. And I'm amazed that, like, we're picking Xbox, because, I mean, say what you want, they gave Ninja an undisclosed amount of millions of dollars to come stream on their platform. So, I mean, they got some user friendliness there. I don't know. They do reach out with their community. They tweet about things that happen. They seem to watch gaming. I can't believe I'm saying that.
Yeah. And then category six has, they got six questions part of it, but choose one of the following: Nintendo's portability, VR, or raw power. And the Switch, obviously, PlayStation and Xbox were 1, 2, 3.
I feel like it's either the portability or the raw power, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know. That's tough to choose from. I really love the Switch's portability. But I do love the raw power of the PlayStation, you know?
Right. It's definitely one of those, like, that is a tough one. But
why not both?
Yeah. I think, you know, if they have a good network infrastructure, though, and we get raw power, you know what? We could probably get remote play some way. So let's go with raw power.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
We got one other question. This is from Cuddle Buns, who I believe is the first time question asker. So welcome, Cuddle Buns. And this is more for me, but you know, might as well. It's great. It's about Olive Garden. How much money would you estimate you cost Olive Garden over the course of each pasta pass?
Well, okay, we should mention right now, we're recording this a little late for dad time, but that's because Jakku was actually at Olive Garden eating his pasta pass.
Yeah, with two others that had a pass. And then more importantly, how much could you sue your bank for costing you the chance at lifetime pass? On a more serious note, are you tipping at Olive Garden when you use the pasta pass? It seems unfair that you should tip for something when the bill is zero and you've already paid. But I have to pity the workers considering they are already getting paid pennies for the work. So let's answer the suing question first. I talked to a few people about this, and I would have to I would have to prove that I was one of the first 50 to have purchased it. So I would have to go to Braintree and Darden restaurants and to try to get those records. And if it did turn out that I was one of the first 50, but my card was rejected due to fraud, then I could potentially move forward. I then also, a lot of credit cards have statements like, we're not responsible if it doesn't go through, and like, we act in your best interest. I'd have to prove that, you know, they weren't acting in my best interest in this case as well. Considering I've bought the pass all 4 years prior, essentially, it should be easy to prove that they messed up on this. But it's also Chase Bank, and I will call them out because I don't care. You know, they have billions of dollars to with their lawyers. I would have to find somebody that's really committed that wants to work with me on this to split out the bounty. But, you know, I wouldn't be suing them for pasta either. I'd be suing them for the money. And considering I raked up like a $10,000 bill in 7 weeks my first year, it might not be a small amount. it might be worth it. That's $60,000 a year. That's not terrible.
No, I mean, I feel like you're, first of all, a very dedicated man to the pasta pass. Like, you believe in the pasta pass.
Yeah.
And I do have faith that eventually you will get a lifetime pasta pass. That's one thing I do have faith in happening. I don't know how good that's going to be for your overall life.
Right. Yeah, that's another thing. It's like, lifetime. I mean,
we're getting older, you know. That's a lot of carbs, Jakku. Like, I wouldn't say I don't live the most active life. And I'm sure you don't either. Like, that there's gonna be some long term repercussions on that.
Absolutely. So maybe Chase did act in my best interest in this case. it's definitely interesting. At this point though, Olive Garden's probably lost. Well, I wouldn't say lost because who knows how much their pasta is actually worth, but probably like $20,000 to $30,000, I would say, altogether. Mm-hmm. Over the 4 years or so, that 4 years, I guess. It's been a crazy 4 years. Of course, I tip. In fact, I tipped 200% this time today, which I'm not trying to say 200% of zero. I did have a charge for a drink this time, so it was like a $7 tip on which is like a $12 meal normally. So I think that's pretty good. I think that was more than fair. Yeah. This waiter I've had 3-4 times now, and he remembers us, and it's really good. And so, like, we're really easy to order and get the order through, and he's really easy to work with. He just brings us everything we need immediately. It's great. So, yeah, he was a good guy. Definitely got a tip still. And thanks for asking about all the Olive Garden questions. It's always fun in October for the Olive Garden.
It's definitely one of my favorite year.
Yeah. Yeah. It's McRib season, too, which – I don't know if you saw McDonald's. I haven't checked my mail yet in a few days, but they're apparently sending me something for the pasta or for the McRib too. So I think October is just the month I eat free, like everywhere.
You just eat free.
Yeah, I just eat free. Pasta and McRibs. Probably not good, but it's only for a month or so of the year. So it's a good thing I don't have a lifetime McRib pass.
Yep.
Man. All right. Cool. I think that's it for the episode, though.
All right. There we go. That's it. Episode in the books.
Yeah. We should mention, you know,
116.
116. Don't forget we have a Patreon, patreon.warp.world. Over the next few weeks to months, we're looking to change the Patreon structure a little bit and update it and make things a bit better for all you Patreon members. Merchandise, merch.warp.world. You got to mention the merch. We got an awesome t-shirt by Noble Tofu, who is a wolf, but you know what? We employ all kinds here. We don't discriminate. It's a great shirt. Check it out. More merch is coming as well. And
more merch is coming.
Yep. And viewer questions, you know, you can email us podcast@warp.world, and you can find us on Twitter at just warp world. So please do all those things. Oh, and rate us if you want. I don't know. I got one. We will not fly you to a city of our choice one way, but we do appreciate the ratings on the iTunes podcast.
We do. Yeah, we need those ratings on those iTunes podcasts. Give us those 5 stars. If you already gave us 5 stars before, get a new account. Give us 5 more stars.
Yeah.
There we go.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, guys. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.